When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a victory Monday. A victory. Mic's off.
Victory!
There it is! There it is. Now you can hear the man. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, dog. It's a victory. Victory Falcons Monday.
And it feels and like it a victory, feels too. Because like technically like last Tuesday was a victory Tuesday. But
It didn't feel like today. Yeah. But a victory Monday as we get ready for the holidays. Hopefully everybody's out there getting their last minute shopping. Mainly us men. Mainly us men, folks.
I got to make one stop on the way home.
Yeah, me too.
And then I'm done.
I did a lot of binging yesterday. Obviously.
Shopping or drinking?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Obviously trying to find these last minute things that people, for some reason, last minute. Oh, you know what else I want, Dad? Oh, baby, you know what else I want? Yeah, okay. So I had to do all that yesterday morning before the game. And it was pleasant. I'm going to say I was surprised by how the game went. The Giants stink.
They do.
They stink.
They are terrible.
They are a bad football team.
But I'm not going to let that get in the way of me.
Damn show ain't.
Overreacting.
Damn show ain't.
And getting over my skis.
Because you know the crazy thing, and it was funny because I think I said it Friday. I said, I ain't root for no damn Cowboys. I just want them to win. You know what I mean? Because I can't just say go. I would never, ever say that. But stuff like that don't happen for the Falcons.
Nope.
You know, it just does not happen.
Nope.
And
you just knew Baker was going to lead a drive.
He was.
They were going to kick a field goal, and that was going to be that.
You knew that was going to happen. You knew that was going to happen, but they got the help they need. Now, they still got to go take care of their business, talk about the Falcons and everything. But, I mean, just the performance yesterday, and I know it all starts with the quarterback. And I thought the Giants, they tried. And what they tried, they pressured the hell out of them to speed them up and everything. And it worked sometimes, and it confused them a couple times. But I thought the biggest thing was the calm that he played with Andy and the taking what the defense gave him a lot of times.
Yep.
And you saw that. I think my favorite play was just watching Michael play, was the play he threw it to Charlie Warner. And Charlie, it was a low ball, though. But what happened was that he was baited into throwing that inside route on that left side. And he saw it. And he pumped it. And he was like, oh, I can't. If I throw this, this is going to be a pick six the other way. And was able to get rid of the ball. Not all. I mean, sometimes an incompletion is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought he played with a lot of poise yesterday. That damn seven is special, man. Watching that guy run the football in. First of all, I tweeted out his blitz recognition this year has been outstanding. And he stands in there, he puts his face in there. But the way this dude gets in and out of seams, man, it's just so much. It's just a beautiful thing to watch, man.
Yeah, it's
beautiful.
It's coming together for him. And like he's always had it physically and clearly that's why they drafted him as high as they did. And you've seen it throughout his first 2 years now.
Yeah.
But he's never been more dialed into what the offense wants to do and what he's able to do than he is right now. Like right now in the NFL, to me, it's like obviously Saquon, Henry, Josh Jacobs probably, and Bijan's in there. Like Bijan's one of the elite running backs in the NFL right now.
Yes,
you saw it on full display yesterday. He's so patient too. Like he does such a good job of letting kind of the holes open up, and obviously his start being able to stop and start like that is insane.
Yeah,
you can't just teach that. But yeah, to have him playing the way that he's playing right now, and I think obviously he helps everyone on the offense, certainly helps Penix, but then Penix playing the way that he played with the offense actually able to function like a real professional offense as it hadn't been able to do for the last month and a half, helps Bijan also. Like, yes. It's so complimentary to actually have a quarterback that the defense has to respect in a way that they just haven't had to the last month and a half because of whatever the hell happened to Kirk.
Yep.
Still don't know what happened to Kirk.
Still don't.
It's a big mystery. It's amazing. And I know this happened Friday after we were off the air and all that. It's amazing how we go from he gives us the best chance to win to, we're probably going to cut him in like 2 weeks.
Yeah,
Again, I don't know what happened. I don't know how it happened. That is a very quick transition from we're going to ride it out, we trust him, he's going to fix it, to then the report's like, we got to cut this dude.
Yeah, and I think that's the crazy thing about it is and we spoke about it on Friday, like if you and I don't want to get too far ahead because like they're still in this thing and everything like that, but how do you explain it? Because I can't explain it. I'm sure obviously they know more than we do. Obviously,
Maybe information will come out when the season's over.
But right now it's unfortunate that you put this big investment into something and it didn't work and it's been a disaster. I don't mean they make the playoffs. This still was a disastrous situation that can be like. I won't say glazed over because you can't glaze over $90 million for 14 games.
No.
But you can say it's a bright side to it, I should say. And you said it's about Michael Penix and him playing well and everything like that down the stretch and coming into the offseason, how that would have the pulse, the effect of Falcon fans.
Oh, yeah, Penix can make us forget.
Yeah.
Now, maybe not Arthur Blank, who had to sign the $90 million check, who was promised this guy was the fix, and then he plays 14 games and you have to cut him. But Penix plays like that, and they beat Washington, and they beat Carolina, and they go to the playoffs. Remember when Kirk played?
Yeah.
We got fat. We're goldfish when it comes to sports fans and good things happening. We got quick memories.
Yeah, man, but I thought, he was good. Bijan, Tyler, the way he ran the football. It was a lot of negative runs. I didn't like that a lot of times, a lot of negative runs. Bijan, you would have thought he had 150 yards.
Didn't quite even have
100, but he was still running tough, running hard. The O-line protected him for the most part. Drake London, hopefully, I saw he left hamstring. Hopefully, that's just precaution because the game was out of reach.
Even notice it.
Yeah.
And then he wasn't out there at the end.
And then you see the emergence back of Darnell Mooney and everything like that. So he was able to go in there and play the way he played and finding seams and bringing that emotion that he got. And, the young kid, he was just solid, man. Some of those throws, you just saw it. We talked about it all week. He just comes out different.
Yep.
It does. It zips out of his hand. Mm-hmm. And you got to help him, though. Like, Ray, you got to catch that ball for him.
Mm-hmm.
Drake, you got to catch that ball for
him. Yeah, that's a touchdown. Drake's got to have that ball.
You got to make the play, dog. You got to make the plays for this kid. And, they're going to go into a situation where they're playing a team coming up Sunday, coming off a big win. 5 turnovers, and you still beat the Eagles. Now, if Jalen plays, it's not close.
No. That game was getting out of hand, and then Jalen gets hurt.
Yeah, but I was like, hold on. Why, Eagles, why? Why y'all let Kenny Pickett play like Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
He's Kenny Pickett.
Just hand it to Saquon.
He's Kenny Pickett.
What are you doing?
But he makes some nice runs at the end, but Devontae catch the ball, game's over.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. That's the set. Yeah. They got 3 losses now.
Yeah.
And obviously one of them's to the Falcons.
Yeah.
Saquon catches that ball, they probably win that. Yeah. Devontae catches that ball over the middle. Yeah. They probably beat the Commanders yesterday.
They probably win that one.
All that said, though, shout out to Washington for winning that football game because they could have lost it 4 different times.
Yes.
I mean, they had 5 turnovers.
Yes.
2 interceptions from Daniels, 2 fumbles from Brian Robinson. Yes. You don't see that from him
Did you see that play that Jalen Carter made?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's a –
This dude swam. This dude clubbed a back block from the center and then stripped the damn football. Like, who does that?
Yeah.
Like,
no, he's about 365 days away from being in the defensive player of the year conversation.
Oh, my God.
He's going to keep getting better. Next year, he's going to be right in the
conversation. And then what do you do if you're the Falcons? You take advantage of a badass thing. Jesse, they needed that spark.
They did.
They needed that spark to wake them juices up. And once he hit that pick 6, it was a wrap.
Because the annoying thing about Drew Lock is he's not particularly good, but he can scramble a little bit. That first touchdown is very sort of Drew Lock type of play. And if he gets a little momentum, he can kind of ride it a little bit. He's like Diet Baker Mayfield, or JV Baker Mayfield. Poor man's Baker Mayfield. Let me stop insulting the guy. He's an NFL quarterback, but you know what I mean? And I was just like, when he made that throw, and then there was a couple of other throws that he had made earlier, I was like, don't let this guy get in rhythm. You beat the hell out of these guys.
Yeah.
Like you let him sit back there and get in rhythm and move around a little bit. Like don't let him get confidence. So Jesse made that great play.
Yeah.
Just a classic Jesse bait.
Yes. Bait.
Like, baited him. That same, I think all of his pick sixes as a Falcon are the exact same play, which is beautiful. He's incredible at it. And then Judon was able to make a play too. His biggest play as a Falcon thus far.
Yes, it was. And I mean, then Arnold Levitt, Kate, he's
now that's a Harrison made the play.
Judon got to catch it. And then you had that. And then also, you know, I thought the tackling was pretty bad in the first half. But I thought, you know, as the game went along, I mean, that damn Caden Ellis, man, since they have implemented him and put him back in the pass rush part of the defense, that's when they've been sacking people, when they're allowing him to do – because you remember when we asked him up in training camp, and we were like, he came over, you had 7.5 sacks.
Yeah.
What were they doing different from you? And he explained it to us, and they just weren't doing that with him. They are allowing him to rush a sack in four straight games for him.
Yeah, four straight games with a sack.
Then he had – most importantly, caused a fumble. Mm-hmm. Falcons get on it and everything. But, yeah, I mean, the defense played really well. Special teams, did he block the kick or not? Or did the damn kicker just shank it?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure.
I can tell you if he shanked it or whatever. But
I felt the same way about the first kick the Falcons had.
Yeah.
It was a 43-yarder. I was like, did that get tipped?
Did that get tipped?
Nah, he just kind of pulled it.
Okay.
It came out sideways.
All right, well, but he made the rest of them.
He did make the rest of them.
He made the rest of them, which is the most important thing. He made the rest of them. Not a good first impression.
No.
But you're able to stay.
Like, great.
But you're able to stay at the dinner table, you know, and go up to Washington and have dinner with this team because, you know, Young Wing Ku ain't coming back. But, yeah, so that was the only, like, downer for special teams for me. Was that place like? Yeah, three drops on the first drive.
Yeah.
And then your damn new kicker misses a damn kick.
Yeah.
So Falcon-like.
And then the one interception that Penix throws.
Okay.
Shouldn't count.
No, it should not.
That's a Pitts interception. Kyle Pitts threw that interception.
Dude, I don't even know what to say no more. That was just all. You know, this dude is reverted to a backup quarterback and a fourth receiver.
What?
Your fourth overall pick.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, he's the backup tight end.
Oh, got it. Backup tight end.
That's what he is. And that's what he is.
Yep.
Like, and I know Duke's about having fun with the clip. I just work here and all that other crap.
But I mean.
But, dude, like, you got an opportunity to make a play.
Yeah.
You got an opportunity to make a play. And for that to happen, that's one of the things where you I don't know if he's complaining, if he's upset or whatever, he's not being utilized. That's your fault. Play better.
Or get utilized less.
Yeah. Play better.
Because that, honestly, right now, that's where I'm at if I'm them. I'm like, all right.
No.
We're good.
No. That's where they are.
Yeah. We're good.
Yeah, that's where they are.
That's it? That's what you're going to do?
That's what we're going to do.
It's a pretty good look. Could have been a touchdown. Catch the ball.
Catch the damn ball.
Get to the pylon.
Drop it. Don't turn it into a damn disaster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't turn it into a damn disaster. And that's what you did.
Yeah.
Okay, you drop it. Okay. But you turn into a damn disaster.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's the first time Penix throws him the ball.
Yep.
Might be the last time. No, he threw it to him later, and he got a 7-yard gain. So he went 1 for 7 yesterday. That's pretty good.
Whatever.
Day at the office. Unfortunately, kind of an average day at the office, second half of the season. That's not the story, though. The story is that the Falcons won 34-17. That's their biggest win of the year. Michael Penix was very good. Bijan Robinson was great. And the Bucs lost, so they're in first place again.
Yep.
Just like that, in less than a week, there's juice.
Yeah, man.
There was no juice on Tuesday. Remember how little juice there was on Tuesday?
Yes. In Vegas, yes.
There was no juice.
And it wasn't just because we were all hungover and dragging ass.
No, that wasn't it.
It was a Falcon.
It was their fault.
Yeah.
Now there's juice. Lots of it. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick off the show on a Victory Monday. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So first and goal here. Penix will get pistol. They've got Ross Dwelly in now. It's kind of the fullback, if you will. There goes Warner in motion. They're going to hand the ball to Robinson left side. Bijan bounce one. Gets to the left. Score! Touchdown, Atlanta.
He's special, man. It feels like every time he gets the ball, he's going to break it. And you just sit in the sideline and you're watching him run. And he's just poetry in motion. And like the guys love him. We love him. You couldn't ask for a better human. And he just does such a great job for us.
Yeah.
It is, man. It's poetry.
Phenomenal.
It's poetry.
It really is. It's a ton of fun to watch him every single weekend. Two more touchdowns yesterday. Just the absolute best friend for a rookie quarterback to have and trust. And you're right. It felt like he rushed for 200 yards yesterday. Only had 94. Almost got in for a receiving touchdown as well. He just kind of clipped him from the back. He apologized to Penix after the game, too. He's like, man, I thought I was going to get you your first one. Didn't quite do it. That one felt like the first one. Man, he had hit Drake in his hands. Obviously, the DB got his hand in there, but you got to catch that.
Yeah, catch that ball, Drake.
And then Pitts, like that ball, too, if he hauls that in and kind of gets around that edge, that could have been a touchdown, too. So was hoping Penix was going to get his first touchdown throw yesterday. That's all he didn't do.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything else you could have wanted from a first-start rookie in a time where you needed the win, and we had the bad quarterback that we've been watching the last month and a half, a breath of fresh air at that position for sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, the kid played well. It helped that they played a horrible opponent, but, I mean, it didn't look too big for him.
Yeah.
It really didn't.
It didn't. They did play horrible.
Yeah, they played a hard football team. But, I mean, he was poised and everything like that, didn't force anything. In the throws that he made, you saw, you know, the first pass of the game's got to be caught.
Mm-hmm.
He put it right there on Ray, you got to make that play for him, you know. But I mean, I just thought overall the control that he had of the huddle, you know, not rushing, never up against the clock really, because I think Zach did a good job of getting the play in early for him and everything like that. So he's never rushed to try to, you know, going against the play clock or anything like that. They didn't have a lot of penalties, and you know, outside of the, and I'm with you. They need to take that interception away from him because Kyle got to catch the damn ball. Kyle tossed the ball to the dude, so
it's almost like Kyle caught it and then was like,
"Here,
never mind."
Should have been a fumble,
yeah, or something,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, can they do? Sometimes they do that in baseball. They retroactively change the scoring or something like that. Yeah, they should do that. I'll be honest with you. Made me more mad than some of the other mistakes Kyle's had this year.
I remember we got the text.
Yeah,
you were upset about it.
Take it personally.
Up there in New York City.
That's my guy, all right? That's Michael Penix.
Oh, God.
Washington Husky legend.
Oh.
When he's messing up for Kirk, that's one thing.
Right.
He's messing up for Penix, he's messing up for
but
me.
But, I mean, that's a messed up way to get your first damn interception.
It's very frustrating.
It's very, very frustrating. Yeah. And it's because of him.
No.
I'm going to tell you something.
All jokes aside, like, Kyle Pitts is a disaster right now.
It's bad.
Yeah.
And that's what I said. I don't know if it's in his head. Because, I mean, one thing about it is, like, I just work here. Okay, fine. But my thing is, it like, is
come
it,
on though. But like, my, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah. But I'm saying, come like, on. Is this dude pouting?
Yes.
Because he's not getting the ball, because his reps.
I don't know.
All that is you.
I don't know why he's pouting, but he is.
But the thing about it is like this. I play this. I know this game. You don't play. If you're a starter and your reps are cut, it's because you're not playing well.
Right. It's not personal.
You don't think they don't want to get you the ball?
They would love to get you the ball.
You don't think they want to give Kyle Pitts the ball?
Like, your success is one of the main things that this general manager is being judged on right now. Like, he's hanging by a thread, man. He's hanging by a thread. And now Penix can play well enough and they can get in the playoffs. Who knows? Maybe they win a playoff game. I don't want to get too far ahead of it. It was one game against a really bad team. They got to beat a good Washington team this week in order to keep that dream alive. But, like, they're about to cut the $100 million quarterback.
Yes.
Like, Terry Fontenot is getting looked at real funny by the front office right now. Kyle Pitts can't do anything.
Yes.
Like, a lot of the other draft picks they've made aren't on the field doing anything. Now, free agents balled out yesterday.
Yes, they did.
Jesse Bates had a pick six. Judon had a pick six. Like, that looked pretty good yesterday. But, yeah, like, there's, you know, There's a lot riding on the remainder of this season.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the momentum of Penix and the juice that has sort of reinvigorated the fan base and all that. I get it. That's great. But, like, there's jobs at stake.
Yeah, man.
If these guys don't win these games.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, 100%, dude. 100%. And that's why you need all his little dick. I love that damn five. Drake got so much in him.
Mm-hmm.
He's tough. He's tough. He's rugged. I mean, the way he was blocking downfield, obviously, after the interception, he gets the penalty and all those different things. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You got that want to about you, man. And that's the thing about it. And every time you go through a situation like eight is going through, you always drop the damn ball. You remember earlier the week with Debo? Debo dropped the damn ball. Now, yeah. He looked good against Miami yesterday. But that's what I'm saying. This process of not being focused all the time, because you never know when your damn number is going to be gone. And the one thing about it is you're supposed to know, according to the play, the coverage, the defender's leverage, I'm getting the rock right here. I'm getting the rock, so let me get myself ready. He wasn't ready for the ball. He wasn't ready for it, but he got his hands on it. And great play by the defender. But still, you got to make that freaking play.
What play are you talking about?
The interception.
Oh, okay.
It's a great play by the defender, but Kyle got to make the play. Got to make the freaking play.
Yeah,
just make the play.
I don't know.
The defense play, I thought defense.
Seems like he can't.
Defense was good, after they got over that, because that one long drive they had, the touchdown drive for the Giants, just missed tackles. You tackle them, and then you get off the field. And once they did that the remainder of the game, they got off the field. But, yeah, you were talking about Drew Lock. He can do some frustrating things because he can move around and everything like that. Great touchdown play, great touchdown grab by that kid.
It really was.
It was a great play by him, man. But, I mean, nothing. Malik Nabers, that's all he got. Oh yeah, league neighbors.
They're terrible.
Yes,
they're absolutely awful football team. But so are the Raiders.
Yes,
and well, the Raiders won yesterday.
The Raiders won.
The Jaguars are also awful,
and they're awful. And I love the AP after the game. Shout out to Brock, 1,000 yards. Shout out to that beast out there, Brock Bowers.
Yeah,
but yeah, he hollered Raider. I'm like, yeah. Hey, you said we were in Vegas last week. You said y'all need prayers. Well, your prayers came from Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Your prayers came from Jacksonville.
A lot of people's prayers have come from Jacksonville this year.
Yeah, with Mac Jones.
In the NFL.
With Mac Jones as the quarterback.
And then they asked him about, you guys don't have the number one pick anymore. He said, I talked to Tom Telesco.
Yep.
Which is like, all right, he knows he's getting fired.
Oh, yeah. It was so funny. I saw somebody say, yeah, you didn't see a thank you Jesus or thank you God tweet from Shador because they won. They won. So obviously the Giants jump in front of them for that number one overall pick. But Jacksonville answers all prayers. The Giants answer all prayers.
Perfect team to make your debut against.
Yes.
Perfect team. Just absolutely great. I was watching the game in a bar in New York City. Not a Giants fan to be found.
Really?
Just nowhere. There was Eagles fans. There was Bears fans. I was a Falcons fan.
Right.
The lone Falcons fan. I was like, you got the Falcons game on one of these TVs? Like, oh, you mean the Giants game? I was like, oh, yeah, they're playing the Giants.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we don't, but we'll turn it on for you.
Damn.
I was like, dang. We're in damn Manhattan.
Damn.
All right. They put it on in the corner.
Damn. At least you had your own TV.
Had my own TV.
Yeah.
Had my own little section.
Yeah.
It was really great. It was really great. All right, let's talk about the college football playoff over the weekend. Everyone wants to talk crap about it. That's fine. We can do that, but we can talk about the fun parts as well. Here's the first touchdown of the 12-team college football playoff era.
Two. Jeremiah Love breaks free. Jeremiah Love trying to go 98. Touchdown! What a run in the first touchdown of the 12-team.
And that's about where that game ended.
Yeah.
Because Notre Dame kicked Indiana's teeth in. Now,
yes.
I will say, Indiana intercepts the ball on Notre Dame's first drive. They're moving it a little bit, and then Rourke throws the interception in the red zone. They weren't going to win the game either way, probably, because Notre Dame is just better than them. But they threw away the whole momentum right there.
Yes.
And then Jeremiah Love goes 98. That place is going absolutely ballistic. And the final score, if you didn't watch the game, 27-17 is a lie. That game was 27-3. They scored a touchdown, onside kick, touchdown in the final 2 minutes.
Yeah,
they beat them by a million.
I thought, that was a big play by Love. And that's the thing we talk about, missed tackle. Missed tackle in the hole. And there was nobody over top, and he was gone.
Gone.
He was gone. I thought Ryan Leonard played really good.
Yep, he did. His legs, just like we talked about on Friday.
I thought he played really, really good. And the atmosphere was great. College football, playoff games at home stadiums was great. Not surprised by any of the outcomes. Not surprised by any of the scores or the outcomes. But, yeah, I thought Notre Dame played really good. The funniest thing, and I said it on Friday, was to see –
because they had two game days and watch how cold Coach Saban was. Mm-hmm. And was there anything funny? We had that damn Indiana Jones hat on with them damn earmuffs. And I was like,
the dude called him Alabama Jones.
Yes. Which was so great.
That's pretty good action.
which was so great. Got pretty good Alabama
action.
Jones.
Pretty good action.
Yeah.
I like Kurt Cignetti. I like his. His attitude.
No, that was some crap that he did.
But you can't go on TV and talk about how big your balls are and then punt on fourth down, down 17 in the fourth quarter.
Like, what the hell are you doing?
Can't.
Like, why? What you playing scared for now?
You can't talk about it if you're not going to be about it. And he wasn't.
You can't. I mean, no. There was a lot of can't nots.
Yep.
All right?
You can't do that.
You can't do all that. Tennessee. All y'all can't go out there with no shirts on and then get y'all ass thrashed.
Yeah.
I don't understand this. Because we didn't do that. We didn't, I don't understand that process of you going out there with your shirt on. What are you trying to do? You don't
show how tough we are.
You don't get acclimated to the cold by going out with no damn shirt. You know what your ass get? Sick.
Yeah, you get cold.
You get sick.
That's actually what you do. What you get. You don't get warmed up right, and then you get cold, and then you start the game cold, and then you get buzzed.
And they got their ass cooked.
Yeah, that was honestly, of all the games, there was a lot of blowouts. I know Penn State was up 28-0. We'll get back to that game in a minute. I don't think anybody dominated anyone else as thoroughly as Ohio State nominated Tennessee's ass.
Yeah. And Tennessee got about a half step. Now, losing Dylan Sampson was big, but I don't even think that would matter.
But I think it was 21-0 at the
time. I don't think that would have mattered. Now, because I'm telling you, Andy, if they play like that, they will win the national championship. Yes.
That was the Ohio State that we were promised all the way back in August. Yes. Hadn't seen it.
Nope.
Hadn't seen it.
Nope.
And they went from their absolute worst performance against Michigan to their best performance. And
you know what?
It's a hell of an answer.
There's this kid. I know Travis Hunter is the Heisman Trophy winner and everything. No,
Jeremiah Smith
might be the best player in college football.
Certainly the best receiver.
Certainly the best receiver.
I know Hunter won the Biletnikoff, and I'm not trying to take anybody's awards away.
That dude different.
Jeremiah Smith's the best wide receiver in college football.
Different. That dude is different. And Chip Kelly got off his ass and got him the football.
Yeah. No, it was the best game Chip Kelly's called since, like, the 2013 Rose Bowl. I'm not joking. Like, that was the best offensive performance that Chip Kelly offense has had since – like his final season at Oregon.
Right.
They're running motions. They got Travion Henderson the ball in his hands, like in the passing game a bunch. And then when all else fails, throw it to four.
Throw it to four.
Just throw it to four.
Just throw it up there, man.
That guy's an absolute monster.
He'll make the play.
You can't guard him.
Yes.
You'll
make the play. But yeah, I mean, then, hold on. What was another? We got Kate Wright.
We'll do the whole thing in the next segment.
Then obviously, Sweet Face Lane. Got to put his two cents in there.
Let's get to that. We'll take a break here and get to that kind of stuff on the other side, because that was obviously like Notre Dame's up 14-0, and the whole college football world's like, see, this is why we can't do this, that. It's like, dude, not everything is a referendum on everything. You know, there's blowouts sometimes.
It just happens.
I mean, like Tennessee beat Alabama, right?
Yes.
And Alabama's the one everyone's like, oh, Alabama. Tennessee got beat worse than anybody did. Shout out to Tennessee fans. Tennessee fans showed up in that stadium in a major way.
I mean, they look, but it was so
there
funny
was a lot of
they
orange
were
in
all
there.
At the game day. Yeah, because all Ohio State fans were. We played 8:00.
Right. Yeah, we'll be there.
Yeah, you know, I know y'all probably aren't used to this, but you know, they're always here.
No, exactly.
Yeah,
we'll be there for kickoff.
Yeah, they're always here.
You guys jump through tables or whatever you're going to do it at a game day. We'll be there. But they made the trip, though. Shout out to Tennessee fans for doing that. It's a lot of fun. We'll come back and get to that criticism of everything playoff related that seemingly everyone had coming out of the weekend. And I don't know. I'll try to defend it, I guess. I don't know why. Maybe I'll try to make a point. I'll try to make some sense. We'll see. We'll see what we can do coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, it was a lot of this on Friday night and Saturday in college football. There's no question about that.
Hell yeah, it was.
It was dominant performances from the home teams. Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, and Notre Dame handled their business. Now, the atmospheres were awesome. Like, I think to me, the big win of the first round of the 12-team playoff era is home playoff games are fun.
Yes.
That's awesome.
It was really
awesome.
Cool.
Like, but, again, anybody that pays any attention to college football knows big games played at home
are cool.
Favor the home team.
Yeah.
Like, the home team has a huge advantage when their fans are fired up like that and it's a great atmosphere. And so you know, should come as no surprise that the home teams were able to take advantage of that. Now, I don't think all four games were going to be dump truck sessions like that.
I'm not surprised.
The one that surprised me most is Tennessee. I thought Tennessee would put a bigger fight than that, but I also didn't think Ohio State was going to show up and play like the best team in the country.
Yes.
Because they haven't done it all year.
Yes.
They played a lot of games this year and never played like that.
Yes.
So good for them for finally getting there. And now, the only team in the whole country that went undefeated gets to play them next.
Yes.
Which, I don't know, is another kind of flaw in this whole thing.
Right.
Like, you know, the fact that Arizona State and Boise State are in the second round because of byes is a flaw.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Indiana won a lot of games.
They did.
They were the one that looked kind of least belonging to me. I know SMU got pretty well smoked, but
SMU,
they had chances.
SMU's quarterback was the best player on the field for Penn State.
If SMU's quarterback just played like a normal guy,
they'd probably win.
At least they're close.
In the game. They're in the game. I stay in the game.
Because they had a drive. Their first drive, they go for it on fourth and one. The play was there.
Yes.
He just makes a bad throw. They don't score a touchdown.
Don't
turn over.
Get greedy. Run it.
The defense played great.
Yes.
Like, the defense kept them in that game. And then he throws a pick six on the second drive. And then he throws a pick six again. And then they drive the ball all the way down. Penn State, for whatever reason, goes for it on fourth and whatever. James Franklin. And then SMU is in position to score. And he throws another pick inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah,
it's just like, you just can't live like that.
Yeah.
So the final score is 38-10. But SMU played a lot better than that in the first half. I think Penn State would have ultimately got him anyway.
Right.
But that one felt lopsided. Indiana's score kind of tells a different story. Like, they ended up being able to score those couple of touchdowns late, and it's a 10-point loss. That won the 10-point game.
No.
They got beat by four scores.
Yeah,
it could have been worse than that.
Yeah, Notre Dame's a very good team.
They're a good team.
And I said I was going to sit and watch. Notre Dame's a good football team. And so, you know, they're advanced. I got to take on Georgia and everything. Obviously, we'll talk more about that. But I thought that, you know, I was thinking, I was like, because you remember when they went to 14's playoffs? Weren't all the first round blowouts?
That's the thing.
Weren't those blowouts too?
Those
were supposed to be the best four.
The
top four, I should say.
People just don't have memories, I guess, because 14 of the 20 first round games, like when it was a 14 playoff, were bad games.
Yeah.
There were lopsided games. The national championship game 2 years ago was 65-7.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know what I mean? Like that, and that's when we're doing just four teams and nobody really had too many qualms about who deserved to get in and all that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, this is what it is in college football.
They're going to be blowouts.
There are, there's usually only three or four, maybe five, I don't know how many there are this year, teams that really have a chance to win a national championship. And those teams are way better than everybody else. And if they get to play at home, they're probably going to smoke you.
Yeah.
And that's what happened on Saturday and Friday night.
Yeah, I thought, you know, going back to I said, Texas plays like that. Texas can win the national championship.
Here's the thing about Texas,
because
I'm with you. Absolutely. And I thought Clemson actually played pretty well. They did a good they might have been like the most impressive team that
because
lost.
Because the coach.
Yeah, they're just their culture, man.
Yeah.
Like they're ready for moments like that. I thought Klubnik played pretty good. They just couldn't run the ball on them and couldn't stop the run.
No.
Like Texas ran for damn near 300 yards. The thing about Texas is they do that to people. They ran for damn near 300 yards on A&M the week before they played Georgia in the SEC championship game. They did that to Kentucky. They did that to Florida. But they played Georgia twice.
And they didn't do it.
And they ran the ball for 30 yards both times.
Yes.
So if Texas can run the ball for 250 yards, they're going to beat the hell out of people.
Yes.
But they've played a genuinely excellent team twice, and they ran the ball for 30 yards in those games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you it's up to you to decide what you think Texas is, whatever. Obviously, they're a very good team. They're on to the next round. But if they can run like that against an elite team, then they can beat anyone. They can win the national championship. But they can't because they've had two opportunities to do it. And they run for 30 yards in those games. So,
yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. The matchups is just what it is in the first round. These first rounds, I mean, it just happened. And you look at where we.
They've got to fix it.
They'll fix it.
They've got to fix
it. But fix it. And like, what would have been a better? Are we sure that Alabama would have went up there?
Nope.
That's not even what I mean.
You know, That's not even what I mean. I just mean if they're going to be 12, and it's going to be 12 for a little bit, like at least a couple of years, you've got to reseed it. Like,
oh, I agree with that.
You can't just do automatic buys for conference champions.
I think conference champions should get in.
Yeah, sure.
But not automatic buys.
And I didn't realize this. Should have, but didn't really realize this. I heard Pete Thamel talking about it this morning. The reason the system, like this format, sucks so much is because it was built for Power 5 when the Power Five was like relatively even, right? Mm-hmm. Just say that there was a Power Five this year. Texas would have been in as the conference champion of the Big 12,
right?
Instead of Arizona State.
Right.
Oregon would have been in as the conference champion of the Pac 12,
right?
Instead of the Big 10. Penn State would have been in as the conference champion of the Big 10 or Ohio State, one of the two.
Right.
And Georgia would have been the SEC champion. Those would have been your top four. If those ones got byes, no one would have a problem with that because those are all four really good teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how this was built. So they built it before the landscape shifted completely. Now the landscape has shifted completely, and you've got conferences that are just way too big, and that allows for teams like Indiana to play a Big Ten schedule and not really play anybody.
Correct.
Like, it shouldn't be possible for a team to play a Power Four, and not even that, no offense to the Big 12 or the ACC, but you shouldn't be able to play an SEC or a Big Ten schedule and have an easy path. It should be impossible.
I agree.
And it happened for Texas and for Indiana.
Yeah.
Now, again, Texas proved it. They beat Clemson and they're on to the next round. But, like, people had questions about Indiana. They hadn't played anybody. They played one big game. They pretty well got handled. Mm-hmm. Are they capable of it? Clearly they weren't. Mm-hmm. So now everyone thinks the entire format is broken.
But this broke before that.
The format is bad, and they need to fix it. But the thing that's really bad is conference realignment. It's the realignment that's ruined this. You can't have 20-team conferences and only play 8 conference games.
Yes.
You can't do it.
Yes, I agree with that.
You can't do it.
I agree with that.
It just doesn't work.
Because you're going to have, and the thing about it is that Georgia had the toughest schedule ever. It flips. They're just playing at home.
Right.
They still got to play. They still got to play the same teams.
Right.
But it just flipped.
Like Texas, like Georgia played 5 top 20 teams, and Indiana played 1.
Yeah.
And they lost. Don't play in the same conference. Texas played 1.
Yeah.
Right.
And they lost.
And they lost. Like it. And they play in the same conference.
Yeah.
Like that should not be possible. Now, I realize we're early in this. The conferences like the SEC and the Big Ten might even get bigger in the years to come.
Which is crazy.
Might add some more, whatever. So it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. There was a day not too long ago where conferences were smaller and everyone just kind of played there in their region.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the conference champion. And then those guys, anyway, but I guess that was a bad system.
Yeah, they're not going to do that anymore. But I mean, just like the open complaint, like I said, Lane, you like, really? It's riveting. Like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I understand, but you didn't take care of what you had to do. I understand that whole Indiana, and yes, I do think that Ole Miss will be Indiana. I do.
Yeah, probably.
But you didn't take care of your business, Lane.
Yep.
Just like you never take care of your business, Lane.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Just like Lane Kiffin, and we kept saying this, and he had his biggest win of his career against Georgia, and they kicked our ass. Mm-hmm. I ain't taking nothing away from that win. But yet, you still ended up doing what Lane Kiffin teams do.
Yeah, even in the year where Lane Kiffin finally handled his business, and a Lane Kiffin team finally handled their business, they still didn't handle their business.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I'm sorry. Like, you can't lose 3 times and have some of those losses be as disqualifying as those losses were, and then sit there and watch a team who played. And again, I'm kind of arguing now against myself because Indiana didn't actually play a difficult schedule, but they are in the Big Ten and they did go 11-1. Like they beat who was on their schedule. Like they did what they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people thought that's what was going to happen to them, and it did.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if next year they say, I don't know, this team went 11-1 in the Big Ten, but they didn't play anybody like Indiana last year. We don't want that again.
But that's going to be that's going to be the template. But I mean, you can also talk about, you know, as far as SMU. Now SMU's in a situation where, you know, they lost their conference championship first time in the ACC and everything like that. And like I thought, if their quarterback plays
if he just doesn't play like an absolute disaster.
They're in this
game.
They're in this game because Penn State didn't do anything offensively. Mm-mm. And this guy is giving away points. Giving away points on the road in Happy Valley. And that place went crazy on that first pick six.
Yeah, I mean, he cost them. Just say they don't score a touchdown on that first drive. They kick a field goal. So that's 3, mm-hmm. right? And then 2 touchdowns. So that's 17. And then say they kick another field goal on the one. That, I mean, it's 20 points right there that he cost them just by, you know, by making mistakes, turning the ball over, and making bad decisions. The whole argument falls apart, though, for not allowing this team in or that team in based on they didn't do this, do that. Nobody had any problem with Tennessee being in. And they shouldn't have. Tennessee earned it.
Yeah.
Tennessee had a nice year. They went 10-2 in the SEC. They beat Alabama. They lost a couple games, but they had a good year. They should have gotten there. And then they got smoked.
They got They got brutalized by Ohio State.
So even teams that – so Indiana, whatever, you could say didn't do it enough to be there. They got beat. Tennessee did. They got beat. Like, Clemson's probably the one that if you really are annoyed by the system, they didn't have a good year at all, but they won the ACC championship game, so whatever, they automatically qualify. They're probably like the least deserving resume-wise outside of winning their conference. They wouldn't have gotten in had they had their record without a conference championship, and they played the best. Like, so, I don't know. They're human beings. They're going to play their kids. They're going to play games on the field. And here, again, the biggest takeaway I had from the whole thing, beyond that they've got to sort of revamp some of it, tweak it, if this is going to be the system, I think they'll go to 16 eventually, and maybe that'll help a little bit.
It's going to be the same thing.
Well,
teams are going to get blown out in the first round.
Of course they are.
Yes.
Yeah, of course they are. Because there's just not enough. As much as there's more parity, the really, really good teams in college football, especially at home, are going to be that much better than the teams that are on the next tier down. But that was my biggest takeaway is, I mean, you give these great teams home field advantage, they're going to win these games.
You know
how hard it is to go into Happy Valley and beat Penn State in that environment?
It's hard. Unless you're a good elite team. And that's what I'm saying. Like, a good elite team would beat Notre Dame at home.
Mm-hmm.
A good league team would beat Ohio State at home. Mm-hmm. You know, that I mean, these things happen. And that's what we talk about, the competition. There's only four teams, in my opinion, that can win the national championship this year.
I got
Oregon.
Okay.
I got Georgia. Mm-hmm. I got Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And I have Texas.
Okay.
And you know who I'm throwing in? If their quarterback plays the way he plays Saturday, don't count out the damn Irish.
Okay.
I know what I said last week. Like, Notre Dame, they always get all this hype and blah, 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 blah. They're pretty damn good.
Well, look, if they beat Georgia, then they play Penn State or Boise State to get to the national championship.
But you think about you go and play Georgia on a neutral site down in the Sugar Bowl. We know all the hoopla and the between Georgia and Notre Dame in that building and everything as Georgia won their second national championship down there. They're a very, very good, disciplined defensive football team that's rugged. We have a backup quarterback.
That's the wild card. Like, it's so hard to really analyze what Georgia can and can't do with a quarterback no one's really ever seen play.
We got a backup quarterback with average receivers.
Yep.
That's the thing about it. Now, our defense,
Very good defense.
But the offense is like, okay, I don't know what to expect. Now, if he's going to be the starting quarterback next year, technically it'd be next year when we play. You take it first.
True.
Technically.
It's gunner time.
Yeah, it's gunner time, baby. It's gunner time.
Technically, it'll be 2025.
It's really not. He's supposed to be a quarterback
in 2025.
Yeah. So,
yeah, look, I mean, again, it's not exactly the same thing as Penix. Obviously, there's a lot more on the line for Georgia being in the college football playoff right now. But, like, Gunnar Stockton plays well, beats Notre Dame, you know, whatever, maybe beat Penn State, Boise State, whatever, gets a championship or whatever, whenever it ends, if it ends for Georgia, maybe they win a national championship. Like, the amount of momentum and excitement for Gunnar Stockton going into next year for Georgia fans has the potential to be off the charts.
Hell yeah.
Just because of this little, it's not even an audition. Like, he's got college football playoff. It's not an audition.
Yeah, he got to go.
But same thing for Penix. Like, Penix now gets these three games. Great job first game. Now they got the Commanders, who are very good. Very good football team. Jaden Daniels had 5 touchdowns yesterday.
They had 5 damn turnovers.
And one. Because Kenny Pickett was the quarterback for the Eagles.
And
because DeVonta Smith dropped a pass that he normally catches. Yeah, man.
Kenny damn Pickett. I was like, who the hell is that with them two gloves on the first touchdown?
Let me sum it all, just the whole takeaway from all of it. Football's just the best.
It's awesome.
It's just so fun.
It's awesome.
And it's so much more fun when the Falcons play like they played yesterday, and there's like a quarterback to get excited about and all that. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour, and then we'll get to another NFL No Huddle right after that. That's back-to-back NFL No Huddles, people. Kick off the noon hour on a Victory Monday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.